Good morning and welcome to the Berean Break. My name is George A. Sinkey, and I hope that you are eager to learn God's Word today. Let's resolve to study God's Word more and to follow nothing but the Word of God. I hope that you have your Bible ready, because I want you to check out what I say and to follow it if it is truth. If it is not truth, please contact me and correct me. Let's begin by going to God in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. May we strive today to follow you closer with our lives. We are sorry, Lord, for the sin that we have committed, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin, and may we look to your word for how to be forgiven of that sin. We thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made so that the sins of the world could be forgiven. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Some may ask, George, why are you always bringing up what denominations teach? There are multiple reasons for this. First, I do so because I teach the truth, and there is a natural collision of truth with false doctrine. Occasionally, though, I receive a question and seek to give the scriptural answer to those questions. If you have a question, and you are welcome to contact me, and I will research the Word of God for the answer and share with you the answer that the Word of God gives. Today's program is a response to a couple of questions that I have received. The first thing I want to do is to reaffirm the fact that the Bible and the Bible alone is the standard for what God wants in religion. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17 and read with me. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now you can read that and you can understand that verse. The scriptures provide the person who wants to follow God everything that they need to do that. We read it, we understand it, but are we listening to what it says? Paul is not the only one to present this concept, though. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. True knowledge is the knowledge that comes from God, and it has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Does that mean that God has given us some things that pertain to life and godliness? No. Has God given us most things pertaining to life and godliness? No. It says that he has granted everything pertaining to life and godliness. I believe we can understand that, don't you? But are we listening? Will we live our lives based on that truth? I have it as my goal to live by that truth. Do you? I know as we go through today's study, there will be some of you who say, that's not what I was taught, or our creed teaches something different, or our catechism doesn't say that. And I agree. If you're going to use a man-made creed or catechism or the teachings of some man as your standard, then you will hear things contrary to this. But this program has the standard of the Word of God. So I ask you, to whom or what will you listen? Now I want you to know that you can understand God's Word for yourself. That is why I give you the references to look up and why I encourage you to check out what I say. Now let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Paul is writing to Timothy here, and let me ask a few questions. Was Timothy a Christian? The answer to that, I believe, is obvious. Yes, he was. As I give these answers, if you disagree or want to know why I give these answers, please contact me. Okay, Timothy was a Christian. Next question. Could Timothy be unapproved to God? Again, the obvious answer is yes, or else it makes no sense for Paul to encourage him to be diligent. Could Timothy be ashamed as a workman? Yes. Could he handle the word of truth inaccurately? Yes. Paul gave a warning about this, so it must be possible. Let's go on over to another passage. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul writes, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Again, that reference is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. What are all going to appear before? The judgment seat of Christ is what this verse teaches. What is the purpose of us appearing before the judgment seat? That we may be recompensed. For what? Our deeds, both good and bad. Are we going to be recompensed for someone else's deeds? Read this verse again if you need to. The Bible teaches that we are going to be recompensed for our own deeds, no one else's. Remember that the next time that a false teacher tries to tell you that you bear the guilt of Adam's sin. That just isn't true according to the Bible. One more verse I would like us to look at is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, where the writer speaks of Jesus and says, "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." According to this verse, Jesus is a source of eternal salvation to those who obey him. If a person does not obey Jesus, is there any other way to receive eternal life? No, there isn't. Now, one more question about these verses. When Paul spoke to Timothy about being an approved workman, that didn't need to be ashamed, who handled accurately the Word of God, did Timothy's response in any way affect his salvation? In other words, could Timothy mishandle the Word of God and be ashamed and unapproved and still be saved? Honestly, do any of you think that he could be? The Bible teaches that it did matter how Timothy responded. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians about being recompensed for good deeds and bad deeds, is there a difference in the recompense? Will good deeds and bad deeds receive the same reward? The scriptural answer is that good and bad deeds receive vastly different recompense. As the Hebrews writer was pointing out that obedience was necessary for salvation. This may seem like a strange question. Is it necessary to obey to be saved? Unless you have some alternative standard to uphold, the Bible's clear answer is that obedience is necessary for salvation. As I mentioned in the beginning, two different people asked me questions dealing with the same subject, and that subject is predestination. Now, there is a biblical concept of predestination, and as sometimes ties with it, the idea of the election. In the biblical teaching on this subject, a person is predestined or elected based on what he has done. For example, in Mark chapter 16, in verses 15 and 16, it says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." So if a person believed the gospel and was baptized, then they will be saved. And we could, in a biblical sense, say that they are a part of the elect who are predestined for salvation. This is, however, not the meaning that some people give to predestination. In the teachings of Calvinism, predestination refers to the false doctrine that God decided before the foundation of the earth who was going to be saved and who was going to be lost individually. In this man-made doctrine, there is nothing that you or I can do to change what God decided our destiny was going to be. Our destiny is not based on faith. It is not based on our obedience. It is not based on our holiness. It is not based on our refraining from sin. To some, this doctrine is very comforting because they believe they are a part of those destined for salvation. But consider the flip side of this doctrine. If God decided you are lost, there is nothing you can do to change that. You can believe everything that God says and leave every sin behind. You can pray and obey, and you can live a life that was second only to Christ himself, and yet you're going to hell because God did not choose you for salvation. How comforting is that? Let's consider the three passages we looked at earlier in the light of, or perhaps I should say in the darkness of this doctrine of Calvinistic predestination. First of all, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." Remember how we could see from this verse that being diligent, being approved to God, being an unashamed workman, and accurately handling the truth all mattered? Well, if the Calvinistic doctrine of predestination is true, then these things mean nothing. You see, according to the logical conclusion of Calvinistic predestination, I can be a false teacher and still be saved if God chose to save me. Note the past tense, chose, because God decided it before the world was even created. The moment that a teacher of this man-made doctrine says, "Oh no, a false teacher wouldn't be saved," he has denied his very own doctrine. Let's look at our second verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Paul wrote, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Predestination, as Calvin defines it, makes a mockery out of this judgment. If Calvinistic predestination is true, then there is no recompensing. We get what God decided to give us. Deeds that we do, good or bad, make no difference. A person either has to deny what this verse plainly says, or they have to deny that Calvinistic doctrine of predestination. The third verse we looked at was Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, where the writer speaks of Christ and says, "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." This verse plainly teaches that obedience is essential to having eternal salvation. Calvinistic predestination would have this verse to read, "And having been made perfect, he became to all those that God chose the source of eternal salvation." One of the very basics of understanding the Bible is to never make one verse teach something that would contradict another verse. Calvinistic predestination doesn't just contradict one verse, or even just the three that we have looked at today. It contradicts verse after verse, and therefore is not the correct understanding of the Bible. This Berean Break is brought to you in love by the pre-denominational and non-denominational Church of Christ that meets at 1600 East 1st Avenue in Mitchell, South Dakota. You are welcome to meet with us at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings for our assembly, followed by a time of Bible study, and also on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 for an additional time to study God's Word. If you have a comment or a sincere Bible question, please call or text me at 605-770-5555. 855. We want to remind you of the non-denominational TV program, Know Your Bible, on KDLT-TV at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. This is George A. Sinke for the Lord's Church here in Mitchell. Goodbye for now. Remember that we care about you, and may God bless you as you do His will.